Well, at first I thought I had the dates mixed up. As nervous as Mark was up here, I thought it was him, or he was nervous about hearing Cindy and I sing one. So we got a song. I want to read a scripture reference to first in Luke 15 verses 17 through 24, and it's speaking of the prodigal son. And it says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but him when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry." So we have a song called, "I Have Returned." Simple faith as a child I once knew, like the prodigal son. I long for my loved ones, for the comforts of home, and the God I outgrew. I have returned my childhood, Bethlehem's babe, the prophet's Messiah. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name, I have returned. Return to the God of my mother with unfailing faith, for the child of her heart. She said, bring them up the way that you want them. Thank God when they're grown, they'll never depart. I have returned to the God of my mother. I learned at her knee, he's the lily of the valley. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name, I have returned. I have returned to the God of my father, the most godlike man a child could know. I just heard a shout from the angels in glory, praising the Lord. A child has come home. I have returned to the God of my Father, Creator of heaven and earth, God of the universe. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity.
praise his name. I have returned. I have returned to the Yahweh of Judah. On my knees I did fall, where the wall now stands. This lesson I learned as I work my way homeward. The Savior of all is a comfort to man. I have returned to the father of Abraham, the shepherd of Moses, who called him the great I am. He, Jesus, to me, eternal deity, praise his name. I have returned. Praise his name, I have returned.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for the many blessings that you have given. And Father, we're thankful for each one that came out this morning to hear your word. And we just ask that the Spirit will take the things of Christ and show them unto us, that you would remove me and let the Holy Spirit be our teacher and our guide in your word. And Father, we thank you for those that came out and those that will be listening later by radio, that we ask that you be with them and help them and just bless them this day, Father, and let your word be implanted upon good soil, that it bring forth fruit unto you. And Father, for all those that are in the hospitals and are on the sick bed and wheelchairs, we just ask your blessing upon them, Father. And if it be your will, let them be returned to their physical health. But above all things, Father, that their spiritual being be well and their soul be right with you. And Father, we thank you this day for your goodness and your mercy that you have shown toward us, that you've allowed us the privilege of gathering around and discussing your word, that we're still free in America to proclaim the gospel, the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask now for those that are out traveling today upon the highways and on vacations, that wherever they might be, that they just might open their Bibles and read a few scriptures and bow down and give you thanks. And Father, we ask now that you would bless your word as you have promised, as it goes forth, and let it fall upon receptive heart, and that it return to you and bring forth fruit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, did you ever have a crisis in your life? Most of us have had crises in our life that we probably didn't know how to handle or what to do with. This young man called Hezekiah had four major crises in his life that you can find in the scripture, and we're going to deal with one of them today, but I would like to mention the other crises that he had. As we said, he began to reign when he was 25 years old. He was king of Judah. He was very young. His father was not a good king, and he'd brought a lot of idols in and caused them to worship idols. But when Hezekiah came in, it tells us that the first crisis that he had was to choose to forsake the idols of his father Ahaz had brought into the worship service. And we found that he purged the kingdom of all this from idolatry. That was his first crisis. He had to make a decision. And remember now that he was a young man. And the crisis of invasion, he hadn't been too long before the invasion. The Assyrians were going to come and invade Judah, and he had a great burden there. So he prayed unto the Lord, and God said, sent word by the prophet Isaiah and said, they won't even lift a sword against you. The same way they came, they'll return. There'll be no fight, because that Hezekiah rested upon the Lord. He had faith in the Lord. Now here comes one that will reach us today, and it's crisis of sickness. Have you ever had a crisis of sickness in your life? Have you ever come to that point? We found out in this chapter that in obedience, being obedient to God, he had the right to go to God and speak to him and pray to him about the healing of his physical. And God heard that prayer, and he answered it, and he healed this man, Hezekiah. But there was something else. There was another crisis that came into his life that most of us would like to have, or we think that we would like to have. And that was the crisis of prosperity. After these things, he began to prosper. And the enemy came from a far country. And they came in, and he showed them all of his treasures that he had, everything, the spices, the gold, the silver, and everything that he had in his house. And that was Hezekiah's big mistake. Because the prophet Isaiah came to him and told him, Hezekiah, what did you show this man? And Hezekiah said, I've showed him all that I have in my house. And he said, it will be taken away. They'll come and rob you and take it down out into Babylonian. And certainly that did come to pass, because the Bible says the words of the Lord are tried as silver in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now listen at that. The word of the Lord has been tried. And I pity those people today who are trying to get further revelation to what the Word of God says. Because this Word has been tried, purified seven times, which means complete. The Word of God is complete. The Bible says that man shall not add to or take away from the prophecies of this book. Man is trying to seek visions today and trying to see things and trying to go out on his own. It's nothing but coming from the wrong direction, because the Bible is complete Word of God. And it says in chapter 20 and verse 1, in those days, we're going to see about this crisis of sickness that this man had in his life. Now, in those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. This is the message that he was to receive. Set thine house in order. This was what he was to do. Get ready, Hezekiah, because you're going to die. Now, this is an interesting passage. Hezekiah means strength of God. Hezekiah, the word itself, means strength of God. Isaiah means the salvation of God. Now, I want you to see when these two meet, the salvation of God, which was Isaiah, came to, he was God's messenger. You see, God always sends a messenger before his face. He sent prophets of old. He chose to use man to take his word and go out and speak to other men. And he chose prophets. And Isaiah, at this particular time, when Hezekiah was king of Judah, he was the prophet in that land. And God had a message for him. And he told Isaiah, you go to this man Hezekiah and tell him to set his house in order, because he is going to die. Now, this is a fact that's going to happen to all of us sooner or later. Some may be sooner and others later, but it's a fact that the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. That's two things that you can count on in this world, that you're going to die and that you're going to stand before the judgment, and that there is an eternity out there. But this was a message that he sent. Now, it wasn't a very nice message that he had to bear to this man Hezekiah. And no doubt Isaiah began to shrug, because it was kind of a harsh message. You're going to die. You're not going to live. Get your house in order. Get everything set right with God, because the time has come. And let's see what Hezekiah did. In verse 2 it says, what did he do? He turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Look what he did. He turned his face to the wall and he began to pray. Now he had a right to pray, because simply the fact that he had walked with God and he believed in God, and he turned his face to the wall. Have you ever come to that point when something in your life, a crisis in your life, that you turn to the wall and you begin to question, well, why me, Lord? Why does this have to happen to me? Why am I the one that this must come upon? And he turned his face to the wall and he began to pray. Now the Bible says this is what we should do. If any man is sorrowful, what does it say? Let him pray. When it comes to the time when our heart seems like it's broken and we need help, it says that we should call upon the Lord in the time of trouble, and he'll hear and he will answer. Now let's see what he prayed. He said, I beseech thee in verse 3, O Lord, remember now how I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Look what he prayed for. He didn't pray for the healing of his physical body, did he? Now look, he said, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember. This is what he said. Remember, Lord, I've walked before you. My father Ahaz brought all these things into the house, and I've cleansed them. I've did that which is good in thy sight. But he began to weep sore. Now this word sore means that there was not just a little crying, a few tears welled up, but it means great weeping. It means that he really turned loose and his heart was really pouring out and the tears were really coming, because the message was, Hezekiah, you're going to die. Set your house in order. So he began to weep. But the Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And we're going to see that this verse comes true in this man's life of Hezekiah. Weeping may endure for a night. And remember, my friends, maybe God has called you to go through a crisis in your life. Remember that that weeping is going to endure for a night, but in the morning, joy is going to come. In verse 4 it says, and it came to pass, for Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again, verse 5, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of thy fathers David, I have heard thy prayers, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. Look at this. It says, and it came to pass. This is an actual fact that this man, Hezekiah, was in this condition, that he came, Isaiah came and brought him that message. And after he began to weep sore and bitterly, God could not stand that weeping heart. And he looked upon him and he had pity upon him. And it came to pass, as Isaiah was going out through the middle court after delivering this message, that he told him that God spoke to Isaiah again. He said, Isaiah, turn around and go back and tell Hezekiah, Hezekiah, I've heard that prayer. I've come to answer that prayer that you prayed. Now it says that the time will come to pass, and while we're yet speaking, he will hear. And while he's yet talking, he will answer. And this is what happened in this man Hezekiah's life. While he was yet praying, God spoke to this man Isaiah, and he said, you go tell him that I've heard that prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Look at this. We have a God that can see. We have a God that can hear, and that is the kind of God that we're worshiping today. And he still sends messengers out and saying, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This man was torn up. His heart was breaking, and he had great weeping in his heart. And he said something else. He said, I will heal you. He said, I will heal you. Evidently, all had given up, because this man, Hezekiah, was in bad condition because he was going to die. His time had come. But he said, no, I'll heal you. And on the third day, you'll go up into the house of the Lord. Look at this now. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. Well, what does he see here? I think that he sees something else. I think that God is looking down through history, and he sees this man, Hezekiah, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Hezekiah, he said, I want to see a sign. Hezekiah asked him for a sign, and God is going to give him a sign. But the Bible says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And this is what happened to him. And God was looking down through history to the time when this resurrected Christ, he could see Hezekiah in him. And the same it is with you and I today. When God looks down on us as his children, he doesn't see us. He sees us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at verse 6. He made a promise to him. God promised him something. He said, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Look at this. He gave him length of life. He said, I will add unto thy days 15 years. You see, the power of prayer with a God, with a person who is following its God, who is walking after God and trying to do that which is right in God's eyes. God hears those prayers and he sees those tears and he answers. And he said, I'll delay that for 15 years. And look at this. I will deliver thee out of the hand of the king of Assyrian. That was his enemy. He said, I'll deliver you out of the hand of your enemies. Look at that. I'll take you completely out of the Assyrian's hand, because now, Hezekiah, you are in my hands and I'm watching over you, because it says, look at verse, the latter part of that verse, I will defend the city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Look at this. He said, I will defend this city. It's not up to you anymore, Hezekiah, to fight your own battles, because I, the God of this universe, am going to fight your battles. And my friend, this is the same promise that you and I have today. It's not up. The Bible says, stand still and see the salvation of God. And this is what Isaiah's word, his name meant, salvation of God. He brought this message of salvation to this man, Hezekiah, and then he had power with God. And isn't that interesting? It had strength with God. Why? Because God said, I will defend this city. For whose sake? For Hezekiah's sake? No, it doesn't say that. For mine own sake. Because you're mine, Hezekiah, and because you are mine, I'm going to protect you. And the Bible says that not even a hair of our head will perish without it be the will of God. You see, when we come to be his little children, he sets a seal upon us and we are protected, and nothing can happen without it be God's will in our life. He said, I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. You see, he had made a covenant with David and for his people that he would watch over them, that he would be the shepherd and they could be the sheep. So God spoke the word. Look at this. In verse 7 he says, and Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and it recovered. Look at this man. What happened to him? You remember old Job? Job had a boils all over him. He set out to dump, and there he sat with a posture, and he scraped those boils. He'd broken out so bad and all over his body. What a shape God had let this man go through. You see, he had to go through the sifter, and the chaff had to be burned off so that there would be nothing but pure wheat. And sometimes in our lives, the Bible says, think it not strange of the fiery trial that is to try you, as some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice. Because why? Because we have dross in our life, and God wants that pure silver, and he allows us to go through the sifter. And he told Peter over there, he said that Satan has desired thee that he might sift thee as wheat. In other words, Peter, you have that self-assurance, you're lifted up with pride, and therefore that has to be burnt off of your life. And I've allowed Satan to have you that he might sift you in that sifter, that there will be nothing left but the pure grain of wheat. And Isaiah said, he take a lump of figs. Look, God is still using this messenger from him. He told Isaiah, he said, take a lump of figs. And they took it and laid it on the boil, and the boil recovered. Now we remember the 3 days that we were talking about, and it says, in 3 days you go up to the temple. Now we find in the Old Testament in Leviticus 13, in verse 18, it tells about these boils, and when it comes upon a man, I'll read it for you right quick. It said, the flesh also, in which even in the skin thereof was a boil, and is healed. And in the place of the boil there be a white rising, or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, and it be showed to the priest. Now look at this. You remember that they were to go and show the priest. You remember the lepers in the New Testament, when God had healed them, he told them to do what? Go show thyself unto the priest for a testimony. Why? I'll show you why here in just a minute. He told him, he said, if you have a boil upon you, go show it unto the priest. And if when the priest seeth it, behold, in the sight of the lower skin, that the skin of the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair therein, and if it be not lower than the skin, but it be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. This is what we want to get to. You see, before they could go up into the temple to show themselves to the priest, it had to be a waiting period of 7 days before they could show that boil. But here we see that in 3 days, because why? Because Christ came and he rose from the dead after that third day, that we have a right to go to that Holy of Holies and take our case to him. We have a right to go down to our knees and pray to our God, and our God hears, because he says, I will hear and I will answer. I see thy tears. He knows even the thoughts of our intents of our heart. And he told him to take this something, a cup of figs, and put it on this boil. He spoke the word and it's healed. It's a little different than what we have in the healing of man today. They'll call him up and they'll lay hands on him and they'll cry over him and do all manner of things. But you remember that God spoke the word and it was done, because he is the Creator God. And all Isaiah did was to speak the word. And this is what Jesus did when he came. He went out, and what did he do? It says he preached the gospel to him, which is the good news. And it has that healing effect upon man. It'll heal that old sin-sick soul that man has today. And verse 8 says, and Hezekiah said unto the Lord, What shall be the sign that the Lord shall heal me, that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? He wanted to see a sign. Well, Lord, what is the sign that you're going to show me that I'm going to be healed and that I can go up the third day? But the Bible tells us in Isaiah 7:14, what does it say? We too want to see a sign, don't we? We're looking for signs, but it says that there shall be a sign. The Lord God himself shall show you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bring forth. Oh, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means interpret God with us. Oh, yes, you see, that is the sign, and that is the only sign that we're going to have. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth, which means that he was going to that grave, but the third day that he was going to be resurrected, and he was going to ascend up on high, where he can hear our prayers and he can answer. And verse 9, and Isaiah said, the sign shalt thou have of the Lord, and the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadows go back 10 degrees or forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Now this is something. This would have to do with the universe. This would have to be with one who had control of this universe. And this shows that our God is the creator of this universe, that he has control of the sun, the moon, the stars. He has control of everything here. And he says, which shall it be? Will thou go 10 degrees forward or will thou go 10 degrees backward? You remember at this time they had the sundial, and Ahaz also, I want you to keep this in mind if you want to go on farther and read it. Ahaz had a sundial, and he was in a far country, and he seen something in the sun that had happened upon his sundial. Look at this. And Hezekiah answered, it is light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return back 10 degrees. He said, well, it might not be too great a thing for the shadow. It might cloud up over there in the west somewhere, and that shadow might go down 10 degrees. But now if that thing goes back when it's dark and it goes back, or if it's noontime and go back to the morning, then that is something. So he said, let's see it go backwards. Let it return back 10 degrees. And it is said that this 10 degrees was a half an hour, which would be 5 hours. A half hour to the degrees, 10 degrees would be 5 hours. Let it go back 5 hours. If it was 12 noon, it would go back to 7 in the morning. Now that would be some great feat. That's something that man couldn't do. It would take the creator of this universe. And look at verse 11. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down on the dial of Ahaz. He brought it back. Look at this. God of the universe stopped it. He took it back 10 degrees. Now what does this say? Well, it's nothing of us. All of us are not in a hurry to go on. Hezekiah was ready to go on. He was ready to die. There's no doubt. God prepared him for that time. But my friend, when it comes down to it, man wants a little longer to live, doesn't he? He wants that sundial. He wants it to go back maybe to the time of his youth. And maybe there's some of us today that would like to go back. We have a crisis in our life. We too would like to have just a little longer day. that we might go back. And I just wonder what we're doing with our time. Wonder what we're doing with our time. Sometimes we come to the place, well, if I could just go back. The Bible tells us to redeem that time because the days are evil. And what is the message here in 713 B.C.? The message is, set thine house in order. Well, what is the message for us here today in 1983? The message hasn't changed. It's still the same. Set thine house in order because you're going to die. You are going to die. The time has come that all of us are going to die and stand before God in that judgment. Set your house in order because why? The messenger of God came and he had the message, and that message was, set thine house in order. And what does it call upon us today? Man is sick, the Bible says. He needs something in his life. He's dead in trespasses and sin, and man needs to do the same thing as Hezekiah. He needs to turn his face toward the wall and begin weeping for that sin, because the Bible says, a broken spirit and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise, O Lord. You see, what opens God's ears and his eyes is those tears that stream down from that broken heart for that crisis that you've got in your life that you can't control, that no one can control. It's just like that sun. Only one that can turn it back is the creator of this universe, and our God can control that. He can heal that broken heart that we have. But the message today is, set thine house in order, because we are sick and in sin, and man need to cry out for God for what? Repentance. Repentance, because he has sin in his life. And then the Bible says, when a man comes to this place, that God will hear and God will see and God will heal that old sin sick soul that you have, and he'll remove that sin as far as the east is from the west and remember it no more. There is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will add, now this is very interesting, this is what we find in here, and God will add to your life. Because when Christ comes into our life, what does he give us? He doesn't give us 15 years, but he gives us eternal life.